You're listening to Valley Edition. Earlier this year, the Kern High School District settled a lawsuit that alleged its schools were using discriminatory disciplinary practices to suspend and expel students of color at a higher rate than white students. As a provision of their settlement, they agreed to reduce suspensions and expulsions and incorporate more restorative justice into their discipline. Simultaneously, some San Joaquin Valley educators were writing about alternative disciplinary practices in a new book that's been an Amazon bestseller in the school safety category, off and on, since it was published last year. FM 89's Carrie Klein spoke with the husband and wife duo. FM 89's Carrie Klein spoke with the husband and wife duo who wrote the book, Jessica Hannigan, a professor of educational leadership at Fresno State, and John Hannigan, a school principal in the Sanger Unified School District.
So the book is called Don't Suspend Me, and it's all about alternatives to what we consider, you know, typical disciplinary practices like suspensions and expulsions. So what was the inspiration for the book? What led you to write it?
The first reason, and the main reason, is really based on our experience and our research and work. Suspensions haven't really worked to change student behavior. It's been better for the adults at times to take a little break from the students, but, you know, when they come back, they're demonstrating the similar behaviors. So we wanted to really focus on what can we do that changes their behavior and teaches them from their mistakes, similar to academics. So how could we make this meaningful for them? And a lot of our colleagues didn't know what to do. So we wanted to give them a toolkit to help them make sure there was some alternative ways to intervene rather than just going straight to the suspension or expulsion.
Early on in my career as an administrator, I had the more of the traditional mindset that if a student did this, you consult the district handbook, and it says the student goes home for 3 days, they do it again, they're going home for 5 days, they do it again, they're going up for danger hearing. And seeing my discipline folder, it was really just really the same five kids that were repeatedly being sent home on exclusionary practices. And so seeing that it was the same kids, obviously our approach to changing their behavior wasn't working. And so then that's where we'd start communicating with each other, hey, this is what I'm thinking about, you know, as far as to keep the student on campus so they're still in the learning environment, but give an alternative so that they're, you know, we're using that as an opportunity to teach and change behavior. And what we then found was their behaviors were changing. They weren't repeating their behaviors. And so we were actually writing a book about tiered behavior systems, but then having so many of our colleagues calling us on alternatives to discipline is where we saw the need for this book.
So before we get into some specifics, what are, you know, in really broad strokes, what are the main goals and the main strategies that you're trying to accomplish, you know, instead of just going right to suspensions?
We focus on the reflective, restorative, and instructional piece for every incident that, let's say, traditionally you would suspend for. So the reason we find this important is because these are the skills and behaviors these students need to learn for real life. This is what would happen in real life. And so we try to make it really meaningful. And the restorative piece really focuses on restoring the injustice between student-student, student-teacher, student community. The reflective piece really requires us to get to know the student to help them reflect on the poor decisions that they're making and really get them to think about how that impacts others. And then the instructional piece, which is something that's usually missing in discipline, which is ironic because discipline means to teach, is to actually teach them from real life examples and give them that opportunity to learn the skills they're missing when they're making these types of decisions. So those are the three main strategies or areas or components that we really recommend for each disciplinary action instead of just say sorry, go home for 3 days and come back and do it again. And during this type of disciplined, we really recommend a collaborative approach. It's not just the admin or it's just not put on the teacher. It's a community approach. And through this process, when done correctly and implemented with fidelity, you get to know the student. You make a connection. You build that relationship.
And so in your book, you actually offer what you call an alternative discipline menu. Can you run through a couple of those items?
Just before we run through the items, we're very intentional to say you address students by name, by need. So we give this menu as a guide to get administrators and educators to think of an innovative, a different way of addressing behavior to get them started on how to do this. I'll give one example. So we had a case of some middle school girls bullying, surprise, surprise, online. And so we really wanted to address this intentionally because the main girl who was part of the bullying repeatedly was doing the same thing. Even when she was sent home, she was on another social media outlet doing the same thing. And so we really worked together as a team to put her alternative discipline in place. So the restorative piece was there, the actual apology letters to the students she impacted, the family she impacted. The reflective piece was there, getting her to really understand and put herself in someone else's shoes. So she had to interview some students who'd been bullied. And then really the component that was very meaningful in this case for her was she ended up having to do what we call parent academies on online bullying. So she ended up becoming the person that had to give a certain amount of time to the community, to the school, and to the parents and teach them what online bullying looks like, what social media looks like, and what students may be demonstrating if they're being bullied, and what the parents could do to help. So she went from the main bully to this advocate who was providing parent academies and going to other schools and helping other kids. And that changed her forever. I mean, she's doing great things. She ended up graduating, and she's really turned her life around when it comes to that. So that's one example of a case. But we give examples like that throughout the book.
So this sounds really exciting, but also really time intensive and requires a lot of resources of teachers, of administrators, of everyone involved. What kind of advice do you offer to these schools about how they can actually fit this into what is likely an already overloaded workload?
Well, I would say under the traditional, I guess, response, the typical major referral takes approximately 45 minutes of your time as an administrator. And that's not even factoring the student's time missed out of class, teacher's time to conduct an investigation to then, send a student home on a suspension. What the alternatives do by preventing the repeat behaviors, it is time intensive up front, but what you're doing is, as opposed to using a reactionary response, now it's a preventive model. So now you're not seeing those repeat behaviors, so you're not constantly doing those 45-minute repeat investigations.
I can imagine there might be a lot of people who'd hear this and think, you know, what a kid needs is just hard discipline. Kids are becoming too sensitive. We're handling with them with kid gloves. Like, what do you say to that?
We agree. They do need very firm discipline, but the discipline is not happening when they're at home without supervision, without getting those lessons. We need to really have kind of control over what we are teaching them. And the best scenario is partnering with the parents at home or the guardians at home. But what we've found is that's not always the case. And something else we hear a lot is they just need to go home. It's safer for the school if they go home after possibly a fight or a bullying situation. But what we ask is, what makes it safer 3 or 5 days after when they return and nothing really happened to intervene or make sure this wasn't happening again? And so that's kind of where we start when answering this question. And when done right, the way we're talking is the harder way. We have had students beg to be sent home for suspension instead when it's done the way that we're saying and some of our real model colleagues implement this?
Trust me, when we're talking about alternatives, what we're saying is that suspensions need to be reserved for the most egregious offenses. We're talking about, though, the 90% of suspensions that you see are defiance, you know, profanity, things like that that aren't necessarily the most egregious things.
And this book's designed for if students are returning back to your campus. So the traditional 3-day, 5-day, 3-day, 5-day repeatedly isn't working. But in the cases that you do have the district office involved and you make a decision to remove a student from your campus, or it's like John said, the top 5 incidents, we still highly recommend that this teaching component and this alternative component is part of that student's transition plan and what they're getting in their other location as well. We think this is a bigger calling than just, you know, don't suspend kids. We think this could really save lives. If we could save the lives of these children or help them pick a better path to go down, eventually that's going to have an outcome on our community as well. So we may kick them out of our school or our classroom, but we're not kicking them out of the community making these poor decisions, and that's what ultimately happens in the cases that we really, you know, don't change those behaviors or invest in that time, at least to say that we did everything we could before that next level.
Great. Okay, well, Jessica and John Hannigan, thank you both so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
The Hannigans will be publishing 2 more books about a particular framework for restorative justice this spring.